This morning, back to Acts. I'm so glad to get back to Acts. So if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 10. I enjoy doing other things, but listen, here at Calvary Chapel, though we do from time to time, you know, topical or special messages because of the season we're in or the circumstances, sometimes God will put something on my heart and I feel the total freedom to do that. But we really, as a general rule, we teach through verse upon verse, chapter upon chapter, book upon book. We just go through the Bible. I would encourage you to not forsake the assembling together. I mean, I think it's important for us to get into the Word. I personally like the midweeks because it's a great battery recharge in the Lord. Kind of get plugged back into, okay, now I remember what this was all about. Because during a couple of days of the week, you can get a little sidetracked. At least I can anyway. So I think it's a great opportunity to get more of the Word. So we're going through the Old Testament on Wednesday evenings. We're going through the New Testament on Sunday mornings. And so it's kind of a nice contrast and a lot of fun. This morning, though, in Acts chapter 10, we know as the gospel, the disciples were told to take the gospel to all the world, that they were to preach the gospel into all the world. Go therefore, Jesus told them. And then he told them that the Spirit would be given to them, that if the Spirit comes upon them, they would be witnesses. They would be empowered to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts. So we know that this is the format. And so we've watched the gospel starting to spread. You know, we've hit Jerusalem, we've gone into Judea, we've gotten into Samaria, and now we're starting to get into, in their world, think about this now, they're going outside of any form of Judaism now. They knew they were God's chosen people, and they know that. But now the gospel is spreading. It's not just consolidated just to the Jewish people, but it's spreading out even further as we read in chapter 10. So let's pick it up. In verse 1 of chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. So he ruled over maybe 1,000 more guys and was had a lot of people understood. Every time we find a centurion, we find these guys are kind of... They're just viewed well in Scripture most of the time. Every time you come across one, they're viewed well. And they're spoken of. They're guys that are committed to what they're supposed to do. They're diligent. The one of them that asked if Jesus would heal his servant or his daughter, and he said, hey, listen, Jesus said, well, I'll come with you. And he said, hey, you don't need to go with me. Just speak the word and it'll be done. Because he understood how the authority of the chain of command worked. He understood that. How the, even in the spirit realm, it would work that way. And Jesus said, oh man, in all of Israel, I've not seen such faith. You know, so these guys are seen in favorable light oftentimes. And here, no different. He's a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. At about the ninth hour of the day, verse 3, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. We'll get into what he said in just a second. I want you to notice a couple of things in verse 2 before we go on. He's a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. So, he was basically a religious person. He was giving and he was he had some kind of respect for who God was. But this does not give us any indication that he knew God. As a matter of fact, quite to the contrary when we get into it. It's quite to the contrary. And as we look at that and we see that, I think it's something to notice that religion is never enough. We are packed with it in the United States. He's a religious guy. So we're packed with religion around, all around the world. We've got all kinds of religions. Does religion get it as far as knowing God? Because I think sometimes we can get comfortable when somebody says, well, you know, I do this or I do that. And we say, oh, well, that's nice. That's great. Man, watch how Peter and these guys handle this. That's not the way they handle it. And I think we can learn something on this, and there's a lot in this particular message, but let's get into just the first parts of it as we get started. So he's a guy who prayed, he was a guy who, you know, he's a seeker. That's what I like about him though. He may have been a religious guy, but he was really seeking truth. And anybody on the face of this earth that is seeking truth is going to end up with the person of Jesus Christ. That's an awesome thing to contemplate. Anybody that's seeking truth is going to end up at the same place that you've ended up at. If you're a believer today, you've ended up at Jesus Christ. You're looking for truth and you found Jesus Christ. So, he sees in this vision an angel and he says to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Does God hear sinners? There are those that say, well, God can't hear a sinner, man. There's just no way. I don't know. We'd been in big trouble if he didn't hear us when we were lost in our sins, wouldn't we? He heard our cry from our hearts. He hears people's prayers. He hears what's on people's hearts, and especially the seeker, the person that's sincerely looking for God. Boy, I encourage you to contemplate that and think about that. He's looking for the truth. He says, man, your prayers have come up before God. Verse 5, now send men to Joppa. So now he's getting some direction here. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner. Now, Peter is already going outside. Now, I want you to think with me on this for just a minute. Be open to getting outside the box a little bit once in a while. Man, liturgy, and every group has it. We have our forms of liturgy to some extent or another, and I understand that. But man, I love just, you know, my prayer is, and every week, throughout the week, and for any time that we get together, my constant prayer in my heart is that as we gather together, we would just sense the presence of our God. That is the one thing that is just, is going to set us apart from anything else. And it's just God. It's just God. We just want Him. We don't want all the other stuff, but we do want God. We want to connect with God. And that's why a few weeks ago I shared with you about coming expectantly, coming with an open heart to hear from the Lord, wanting the things of God. And when you come with that heart, God's going to minister to you. God's going to speak to your heart. And that's important. You interact with God while you're here, even in a gathering like this. We can talk with God and interact with God and what God's doing. It's so important to experience that individually and as a body of believers. Peter's already stepped outside the box hanging out with Simon the Tanner because they weren't supposed to, as a good Jewish guy, he wasn't supposed to be around dead stuff. And what does a tanner do? This isn't a tanning salon, ladies. This is a tanner, this is something different. That's now. This is a couple thousand years ago. This guy was a guy that took the skins, animal skins, and it would scrape all the meat off of them after they've been skinned and, you know, they've eaten whatever they're eating. And they kind of scrape them down. I don't know, some of you guys, I've used to tan some hides and stuff too. Not just my kids, but my boys are looking at me like, yeah, I think I remember that term. But the reality of scraping the meats off and then salting it and letting it, well, this is, you know, like a dead thing. And so the good Jewish guy's not supposed to be hanging around. But, you know, it's a cool place on the coast. There's a lot of salt nearby. And so this is where the tanner lives and Peter's hanging out there. I think it's cool. He's already getting a little outside the box. I really like this. He's stepped outside just a little bit. And man, he's in a place where he can be used. He's in a place where he can hear from the Lord. He's outside the box just a little bit. I encourage you, just tuck that thought away. This is important to the big picture that we're going to talk about. He's already outside the box. He's receptive. He's open to the Lord. For some of you just coming to a Bible study like this, coming to a gathering like this, maybe this is different for you. I know many times when people come for the first time to a ministry like this, this is different than some experiences in going to church as people perceive. Those of us who've been here for a while, this is normal to us. But we understand that for some coming in, and you're already outside the box, God's going to speak to you. It's awesome. And so he's lodging there at Simon the Tanner's, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what to do. Now, this is Peter will tell you what to do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, a couple things. We have to talk about vision. He's had a vision. There's a lot happening in this particular chapter regarding vision. We have to talk about this because it's very, very important to understand vision. We talk about that. Well, you know, I just don't have any vision for that, man. You know, well, what does that mean? We have to talk about the significance of that, the importance of that, and what is vision in this context, and what does vision mean? This is the New Testament. We know that Acts is the model for the New Testament church. We are New Testament believers, and so we believe in the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We believe it proclaims the glory of God and the person of Jesus Christ. Old Testament, looking toward the cross of Jesus Christ, looking forward to it. New Testament believes we're looking back at the cross of Jesus Christ. All we're looking at the cross by faith, coming together at that one common point. So it's awesome as we look at this and see this. But we know that this kind of sets some of the precedents for us as far as our understanding as New Testament believers. And we find that vision does happen from time to time and the significance of vision. One, we see that as we look at this, Cornelius is in a place where he's in a posture of prayer. He's looking to God. He's looking to God. We're going to find a similar pattern as we go through this. He's looking to God. It's a quiet time. He's interacting with God. I think that's important for us. We need to spend those times with the Lord, the quiet times with God, that where we can hear from God, so that we can get vision. There's some important things about vision. Let me tell you one thing out of Proverbs. You might note this scripture. It's one that we're familiar with. But chapter 29 of Proverbs, verse 18. Where there is no revelation, or that word really means prophetic vision. If you have an original King James, it'll just say where there is no vision. But that word revelation there means prophetic vision. And this is what it's talking about. Just insight to the heart of God, insight in vision. The people cast off restraint. Or in, again, your original King James, it may say, where there is no vision, people will perish. Okay. This idea of cast off restraint or perish is good. This idea of cast off restraint is really, really good because it's kind of like completely go out of control, or it goes wild, or it just runs around. This is good. It runs around aimlessly. We will run around aimlessly. If we don't have vision, we run around aimlessly, is basically what it's saying. If we aren't hearing from the Lord, if God's not ministering to us, this is how important kind of catching vision from God is. And some people go, oh, wow, that's really, you're getting way too mystical and esoterical and all that kind of stuff. No, this is a biblical concept that's real for us today. And it's not just this, it's more of that, it's not just as an angelic being coming and speaking to you, though I suppose that could happen to any of us. But it's the concept of vision itself, hearing from the Lord impressing something on you and causing you to go a direction as you hear from the Lord. I think that's important to note. Now, as this is happening, he is responding. He's a man of action, Cornelius is. He gets insight from the Lord, and he takes action upon it. All of this is part of the importance of really receiving vision. He gets connected with God through prayer. He's in a quiet place where he can hear and receive. And then he goes and he takes action on what he's told to do. We have the prophetic word of God for us here. And as we read the Word of God, He can minister to us and speak to our hearts. I also would just, I'm just turning to it and read it to you out of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, He was asking about, He would stand His watch and go up on the rampart, up on the walls, and wait to hear from the Lord. So He's gone up, He's waiting to hear from the Lord. Now He says, God starts to speak to Him and says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. I think that's important to when you sit down with your devotional time. Like I go to conferences and things like that, and I'm listening to people. I write all over inside my Bible. Any of you write in your Bibles? You guys write in your Bibles? Some of you? Some of you think it's too sacred. It's not. The Word of God is sacred, that this is ink and paper. What is the concepts and the truth of it is what's sacred. Okay? The truth contained there. I write all over in mine because God speaks to me and I jot things down. But then you say, well, that's neat. Good for you. But the thing that's good about it is sometimes when you go back through and you're reading, you'll find, oh, because I write dates and stuff. Sometimes when God really impresses something on my heart, I'll highlight that and I'll write a date by it. And I'll even write from whence it came. You know, if it was through a message or a study or a situation or what it was, I write little, jot down little notes with it. And then sometimes when I'm reading back through, I'll come across that and the Lord will remind me. That's how it happens to me. It's like a warm up there. Remind me of things. You know, it's just kind of guy. Anyhow, it says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. I also have like a journal that I take. I'm just sharing with you what I do. You do how you like, you know, maybe use a steno pad or whatever you want, or, you know, the back of the bulletin, that's where we provide that too. I write on that. If that's all I got, I write on it, believe me. If that's what I've got, I'm writing all over it. I've been to places and situations where I'd write all over the back of bulletins because that's what I had available. But I have a little journal too that I write in, that when I take it to leadership and pastor conferences and stuff, because I like to go back through, because I can chart the years. I take it with me for that purpose. And it's just this cool thing. I go back and I read and think, wow, that's what the Lord was speaking to me. And then what's fun is you go back and you see, man, the Lord spoke this to my heart in 2005, and He's brought it to fruition in 2007. Wow, that's cool, man. Isn't that neat? That's part of the vision. If you don't write that down, it's hard to have it. You still remember it. I think God reminds you, but it's so cool to read it. He says to Habakkuk, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's out in the future oftentimes. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, though it may take some time sometimes, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It won't not come. It will happen. Isn't that great to know that that's the way the Lord works? So, a little bit of insight. We'll get into a little bit more of insight as we get into this. We see God works in a vision, and He works through things, and you have to act upon them. You have to be people of action. You have to be people of faith. So we have to act by faith on the things that God's ministered to us. We have to step out by faith and take action upon that. He sent the guys, He got some trustworthy guys, and He sent them down to Joppa. He's believing by faith that this guy's going to hook up with Peter, who's staying at Simon the Tanner's house in Joppa. That's pretty radical if you think about it. These are people just like us. But this is the way God was doing this and sending them and giving them direction. Some people may have run into the sign out front. Some people might have seen something in a flyer. Some people might have just looked in the newspaper. Some people may have been surfing the web. Some people just knew they wanted to come to a Calvary chat. It doesn't matter. But we end up finding each other. God leads us together. And I think it's cool. It works today too. Just different means sometimes in different ways. In verse 9, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. When he became very hungry, he wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open up, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. I'm not sure about what the creeping things are. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord," which we know is, as Peter, an oxymoron. That's not gonna, you can't say those things. You can't say, "Not so, Lord." If he's Lord, it's, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" It's not so, Lord. So it's kind of a funny thing that he says there anyway. And then he goes to explain himself, "For I have never eaten anything common or unclean." Now, that's a statement of legalism. That's the law right there. I have never, you see. What is faith? What does grace say? I have never before, or I have not yet done that. I think it's kind of important, because sometimes you can get hung up on the, "I haven't done this." Again, what did we start out with this? You got to get outside the box sometimes, right? We've got to be outside the box sometimes. How many of you know what I'm talking about building a box? You know, just with God. You know, and you say, well, God only works this way. Now, I granted, brothers and sisters, I believe he works through his word, through what the scripture tells us. I don't believe the Holy Spirit's going to have you or I do anything that is inconsistent or say anything that's inconsistent with the word. But what I'm trying to tell you is this is kind of out there. From the natural mindset, this makes no sense. Do you see that? It makes no sense. Well, I had this vision, you know. Okay. And you were, well, I was praying. All right. These are religious people. They're not believers. They're not followers of Jesus Christ at this point. You see? They're lost in their sin. This whole group. And yet, this is what's happening to them. Now, Peter, then, on the flip side, is a follower of Jesus Christ, and he has a vision. And his vision is a little bit different, isn't it? His vision is this sheet lowering down. It's got the critters all. He says, hey, I've not eaten. I don't eat those things, you know. I'm a good Jewish guy. Yeah, okay, I'm outside the box. I like the tanner. I like the beach. And I like hanging out with this guy. Simon's a pretty cool head, so I like hanging out with him, you know. But he's saying, I don't eat those things. That's wrong. I don't do that. I don't eat anything common or unclean. What did the voice speak to him? Again, notice these letters here that are in red. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. What does he say to him? The second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. So what's he talking about? Is he talking about the critters? Is God speaking to him through an illustration? See, is he just talking about the animals or what he's eating? No, obviously not, as we get into this a little bit further. But he's got his attention. What's God using in the vision? One, what did Peter do similar to Cornelius? He got alone, got some quiet time, and he was seeking God. If you want to hear from the Lord, you want vision, you're going to have to get alone and spend a little time and hear from the Lord. I think vision is so important. I think vision is so, so important for us. We need insight from the Holy Spirit for our lives. We need that guidance and direction. It makes it exciting when God's speaking in your heart and then you start watching things unfold. It's exhilarating. It makes the adventure an adventure, you know, as you wander through and you watch God at work. This was done three times and the object was taken up into heaven. So it was one of those things that it wasn't just a one-shot deal. I think God was trying to make a point. Verily, verily, verily. Truly, truly, truly. Three times Jesus, you know, he's trying to make a point. Three times it comes down. Three times it comes down, you know, to make this point, drive the point clear into his head. What, that he can just eat whatever he wants? Well, I suppose that might be part of it. But what's the main part of it? Is that not to call what God has called washed and cleansed common or unclean? You see, by and large, our group here, our gathering here, is we are Gentiles, by and large. You know, some of you might have some Jewish background, or, you know, that's very possible, but most of us are just Gentiles. And this is the first, really, outreach that goes to the Gentiles. And it's using Peter, who's saying, nah, man, I don't do that. But somehow he's just a little bit outside the box already, hanging out at the tanner's house. He's kind of living on the edge with the faith. He's kind of exploring this grace that's been entrusted to him already from hanging out with Jesus. You really get to know it when you hang out with Jesus. You get to understand it better when you just hang out with Jesus. And you watch how Jesus does things and the way he handles people and situations and circumstances. Let's read on and see a little bit further. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant. So, he had this vision. Now, this is another segment that's very important to receiving something in a vision from the Lord, or receiving that direction. And I'm going to say that sometimes the vision is an impression, something that's kind of pushed into you, into your being, you know, into your heart, into your mind, kind of an impression that you have about something. And I think it's important to start taking steps of faith. We see God is working what? When it involves other people and other circumstances, he's working on two ends of it, isn't he? God's not just working on the one end of it when someone comes up to you, "Oh, brother, I think this and this and this, or sister, this and this, is this going to happen?" You know, some guy comes up and he says, "Well, I'm the one for you," you know, if you're single. If you're married, you really got to have a check in your spirit. But if you're single, you know, you should say, "Hey, great. Well, when God speaks to my heart, then I guess we'll both know," you know. Because God needs to be working on both ends when we have vision. God works on both ends of it. He's working on Cornelius' side. He's also working on Peter's side. Both of them are stepping outside the box, moving forward by faith. Let's see how this goes with Peter. So while he's still wondering within himself. Now, God also, I think that's cool. He used his natural state, didn't he? He's up on the roof. And you and I think, gosh, you know, our roofs are like this. And what's he doing hanging out? You know, in their area, and especially in that time, they had flat roofs. That was where their patio was. So they'd go up, hang out on the patio. That's the concept. He's hanging out on his patio, basically, at Simon the Tanner's. He's just kicking back. He's really, really, really getting hungry. But God used that. Isn't that cool that God uses something natural like that in our lives? He uses the circumstances that we're in, the things that we're going through, to what? Put a spiritual insight and spiritual aspect to it. Man, help us to see past just the immediate circumstance. But what do we need to be seeking? Through prayer, we need to be seeking the Lord, see? Was it the pepperoni pizza, or was it really vision from the Lord? You know, sometimes we get that, what am I hearing from here? So, Peter, while he wondered within himself, what is this exactly? What this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. So he's still on the roof. He doesn't know these guys are down at the gate yet. He's still just kind of seeking the Lord, wondering, well, what's this all about? At the same time, God's moving. God's moving on both ends. That's so exciting and so awesome. Arise, he says. These guys are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them. Go down and go with them. Go down, get off the roof, go down to the gate there and go with them. Doubting nothing, for I have sent them. I think this is kind of important. You remember in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, where it says to ask God for wisdom. Ask God for spiritual insight. And as we ask God for the insight, we are to question every step of it. How many of you question? You ask God. We ask God. We want to know, God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? And then we put question marks out for every bit of it. James says, don't expect that you're going to receive anything from the Lord. You're not expecting to receive from a heart of faith. Believing God. Now, did I say faith in faith? Just faith to believe for faith? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying faith to believe that God, as you asked Him, will minister to you and meet your need and speak to the situation and address it. And if it doesn't happen right away, that's okay. Who's in control? You or God? God's in control. So we can relax and say, hey, I've brought this before the Lord. I'm in a holding pattern. And when we're supposed to land, we're going to land. You know, we'll know what to do when it's time to know what to do. But we need to be in that posture, that place, that position of listening. We need to be hearing from the Lord. We need to know what God wants to do in our lives. Asking God for wisdom, asking God for direction. In this situation, walking by faith, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. This is now a confirmation of the vision that he had. And I think that's important for us to have. So now we're starting to see how vision works. We need to be seeking the Lord. We need to listen for the heart of God. We need to be open to God moving through our natural circumstances and who we are, and He knows how we're made and what the way we think and stuff. And God will impress things into your life, and He'll speak to us through His Word and minister to us in vision. But as we move forward, we're not to doubt anything. And He says, move forward. This is a confirmation. Now move forward, doubting nothing. I told you that you know, the common things and all this stuff. He told them about that. And so now this is all starting to fit together, bits and pieces. Let's go on. Verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Well, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in, and they lodged, they stayed there with him. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, so he took some Jewish bros with him. You know, hey, accountability. I guess he felt like maybe if I'm going into this, you better go with me, you know. But they're going, now, you and I don't have any idea how radical this is for the Jewish mindset at that time. The Gentiles were, all that the Gentiles were good for as far as the Jewish mindset was, at this time period, this is the truth. All that the Gentiles are good for is to fuel the fires of hell. Just, that's all. They were good for nothing else. They were just damned. That was it. It's starting to fit together. Don't call what I've cleansed, don't call it common or unclean. Peter's vision, he's going with Cornelius. He's going to, you know, a completely, absolutely forbidden place for him. And he's going there by faith because God's leading him to do this. And he's trusting God. He's not doubting. He's not putting a bunch of question marks. This is, believe me, brothers and sisters, way outside of Peter's box. He's way out on the fringe now. The tether rope is way, I mean, he is way out there. But he's trusting the Lord. And the following day, in verse 24, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. I think that's so cool. Cornelius is hanging out. He's expectantly waiting. He knows that God's going to... Do you see how faith's working on all ends of this? Faith, God's at work. When you're praying and asking for the soul of a friend or a family member or a co-worker or someone you absolutely despise and hate, when you're praying for them, God hears and God's going to be moving. Just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Isn't that awesome? God's at work. He's waiting for them. Cornelius is there saying, hey, they aren't emailing each other. Hey, I found Peter. You know, there was no cell phone call. No fax machine. Nothing. It's just they showed he's waiting knowing, well, it's about so long to get down there. They'll probably have to crash there for the night. So long to get back, you know. And he's got to calculate it out. So now they're hanging out waiting. They want to hear what's going on. And he called together his relatives, his close friends, these people that he really loves and cares about. Man, he wants them all to hear. He knows God's going to speak something to him through Peter because the angel spoke to him and ministered to him through a vision. He's expectant, man. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now, Peter opened his heart up and just received all of the worship from Cornelius and said, you know, I am a pretty cool guy. Thank you for worshiping me. You know, now he's got the Peter's traveling, you know, worship me ministry and all that stuff. That's not what goes on here, is it? I think that's so cool how Peter handles himself. Peter lifted him up saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. Oh, brothers and sisters, Peter referred to himself as Simon Peter. Simon, shifting sand. Peter, small rock. Shifting sand, small rock. He was transformed from shifting sand. I'm unstable. I'm Peter. But he never forgot that he's Simon Peter. He knows he's been born again. He's got a changed name, a changed life. Absolutely. But he didn't forget. He knows that I'm still shifting sand if I relied upon myself. I want to function as Peter. I want to stand on the rock and trust Jesus Christ, the name that God gave me. I want to trust in that. Peter lifted him up saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. I think that's so great. He didn't believe the press. He trusted what God was doing. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. Speaking of the Gentiles, all others were Gentiles. And he said, you know how unlawful this is for me to do this. But the vision has become clear. Now, was it all perfectly clear, brothers and sisters, when he launched off? Exactly what was going to go down. We haven't finished the chapter. There's still stuff that's going to go down. It wasn't all spelled out exactly. This is how faith works. Faith is this way. We step out and we take a step. We step out and we say, okay, I'm going to get outside the comfort zone. I'm going to get outside the box because we believe God's leading us. He's ministered to us through a time of prayer. The Spirit's been speaking something to us through His Word. It's affirmed. It's confirmed. We know we need to move forward on something in the Lord. We step out by faith and God will begin to affirm and confirm as we take each step. God doesn't call us to go out there and just say, well, wish you all the best, you know. He's with us each step of the way. That's so awesome to note. He's with us. He's giving us that guidance and that direction. You're not alone. But we don't always see every aspect of it, although we want to sometimes. We want God to spell it out for us. But sometimes, I'll be truthful with you, sometimes, brothers and sisters, sometimes the suffering that we go through, the struggles, the issues, I think we'd probably freak out if we saw too much too soon. I think God knows exactly what He's doing. He gives us what we need when we need it. We've got a map, but He doesn't always give you every aspect of every curve, everything that's going to happen, but He does show you as you get close to it what to do. We walk by faith, not by sight. We believe in things yet unseen. That's an awesome concept, isn't it? Do you find that exciting? I just find that so thrilling and exhilarating. And to me, I know some of you younger guys, sometimes you read through this stuff and you think, wow, Cornelius, that's a neat name. I think he was on, well, you know, one of those cartoon shows at Christmas time. Or, you know, there's a lot of things that you think about when you read through this stuff. And you think, how does this affect me? Your life can be a grand, grand, wonderful adventure. Start now on your adventure. Don't wait till you're older. Start now. You've got a great opportunity. The rest of us, we're just jumping on too. We're in the adventure. God wants to guide you by faith. He wants you to see your friends come to know Jesus Christ, the people you come in contact with. You know Daniel? Read about Daniel. Read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Read about how old they were. Study it. Think about it. These guys had a tremendous impact on their society, and they were but mere teenagers. They had a tremendous impact on the known world at the time because of their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. Ultimately, they were true worshipers of God, the one true living God, and God used them. That's awesome. So don't despise the days of small things, or don't feel unuseful because you're young. God's got a purpose and a plan for you. And those of us that got a few more miles on us, the same is true. We can jump on at any point and be involved. The grand adventure that's here as we watch it unfold. Faith and obedience. So God speaks some to us, we go forward with it, and we watch God move. Therefore, verse 29, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. He says, man, I don't want to call, you know, what God has shown me, you know, I don't want to call a man common or unclean, you know, because I don't want to do that. And therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? He goes, okay, so I'm here, you sent for me, what's up? And so Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Now, what's Peter listening for? What do you think he's listening for? He's not a rocket scientist, is he? No, he's a fisherman. He's just a regular guy, you know? But what's he listening for? He's been hanging around Jesus for the last few years, and he's been empowered with the Holy Spirit, and he's listening with his spiritual ears. He's wanting to hear, okay, so exactly for what did you send me? What is your inquiry? And they start to explain, and Cornelius, this man in bright clothing, stood there. He's going to, oh, ears, you know, look, his antennas came up. Oh, guy in bright clothing. Okay. I'm familiar with the bright clothing thing. I saw some guys around the tomb that had bright clothing on. Remember where Peter's been? Where have you been? Where have you been? What have you been reading? What are you dining on? What's going on in your life? You see? All the signs will start coming up. Boom. The antennas come up. He hears what's going on. He goes, yeah. So Peter's just listening. He said, and Cornelius said, your prayer, this guy says to me, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. So he's got to be thinking, okay, so this guy knew where to get a hold of me and how to track me down. Okay. He is lodging in the house of Simon. Now, does this blow Peter's mind that much? Yes and no. You got to remember, he watched Jesus walk right through a door that was closed. I mean, how much can his mind get blown? He was hanging around with Jesus, you know. He jumped in, started swimming to the shore, you know. I know we can't catch this many fish. We've been fishing all night, but it must be the Lord, and that's the guy that's calling to us on the shore. He swims for the shore. And Jesus there, you know, after Peter had kind of blown it, man, restored him there amongst the bros and gave him a cool breakfast, talked with him. Hey, you love me more than these things, you know? You've gone fishing again. What's your life really all about? What's your life really all about? What are our lives all about? We're going to expire. You're going to expire, guaranteed. But what's it all about? At any age, what's it all about? We're about something. We're busy doing something. There's only one thing that's going to really count, though. And that's what we do, motivated by the power of God's love and by the power of His Holy Spirit. Other stuff we've got to do sometimes because we need to provide and care for our families and stuff. But what's our life really all about? Isn't that cool to think about? What's it going to really stand for? Peter here, he's getting it. He says, man, they've come to get me. I understand this. And he's hanging out at the tanners by the sea. And when he comes, he will speak to you. So, he says, I sent to you immediately. I didn't wait for a few days. I just said, man, great. Do we know where to find him? Let's go. And you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. He says, man, what has God spoken to you, Peter? Share it with us. What has God spoken to you? If I'm not in this, if you're not in this, you got nothing. If I'm not in this and you're not in, we got nothing. When we show up on the sites and we're around our friends and workplaces and homes, if I'm not here, I got nothing. We've got a dying, starving, thirsty world around us. Man, I want to have something to share with them. I don't want to be that guy that ran, you know, ahead, you know, during the time of David's reign, that ran ahead. Tell me how the battle went. Tell me how the battle went. You know, he's just exhausted. Tell me how the battle went. Tell me. He didn't have any information. He ran great. He was a great runner. Zippo on information. He didn't wait for the information. We need to wait and receive from the Lord, and then we need to run. But we got to hear from God, get the vision, and run. A lot of times we're running, and that's why you get burnout. There's no burnout in the Bible, but it happens to us because maybe we aren't sitting on the wall, waiting on the ramparts, wanting to hear, writing the vision, and then moving forward in it. Because God's the one leading. And you don't ever get burnt out. You get tired. You live in this tent. You're going to get tired, but you're not going to get burnt out. We can run like the wind. We can run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. You can be bared up like on wings of eagles, soar with the Lord, because God will do it. Isn't that awesome to think about? God does that. Oh boy, good stuff. They were waiting there expectantly, weren't they, in verse 33? They were waiting to hear from the Lord. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Bink! The lights just came on, brothers and sisters. All that thing about the three times the thing came down, you know, with all the four-footed beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the air. And just rise, kill Peter. You rise, Peter, kill and eat. You know, it's all yours. Go for it. All, it just came down a few times. Now it's all become clear. I was hungry. It seemed like it was about that, but it really wasn't about that. It was about what God's doing. God shows no partiality. Do you know how radical? Look, I don't think we really, we don't. We just have to admit we don't know how radical this is for Peter to even make this statement. He is the first one to really be expressing this to the Gentiles, to be sharing the gospel to the Gentiles. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Not just of the Jews, but he is Lord of all. Whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Father, Son, and Spirit, all right there. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You know, I think you'd make a note in your margin on it. God is good. If you'll notice it, God is good. That's what Jesus, that's what he's anointed to do. God is good. God wants to bless. God wants to care for you. God wants to meet your needs. And we are witnesses, notice that, we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Now, there is something to note, because there's always that controversy. Well, who killed Jesus? You know, it was the Jews, you know, crucify him, crucify him. They kind of put him up on the cross. Okay, but you understand. You're clear on the fact that they had no way to perform this in and of themselves. Only the Romans could perform, the Romans, Gentiles, could perform the capital punishment. Only the Gentiles were allowed to do that. Only the Roman government was allowed to do it. And they were the ones that used the form of crucifixion. Only they could do that. Only they could perform that. Interesting. He says, man, Jews and Gentiles put Jesus on a tree, on the cross. Because why? Universal sin. It crosses all barriers, all bounds. All were born into it. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. It's so clear. None. We've all sinned. And yet there's that grace and that mercy available through Jesus Christ, who loves us so much. And that's what these people, they wanted to hear. What is this hope that we might have? What is this that we're missing? We're religious, but we don't get it. We don't have anything. Him God raised, in verse 40, up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins or salvation, the forgiveness of sins. All who believe in him. So now Jew and Gentile, all who believe on his name should be forgiven. These people, spiritually speaking, are busting out of the seams. They're just bursting out. They can barely contain themselves. They're so excited as they hear the word of God. Our faith is built up not in seeing the miraculous, although it's nice, it's exciting to watch the miraculous, but that's not how our faith is built up. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith is built up as we are in his word, as we are being nurtured and ministered to as to what God would speak to our hearts. I think this is so awesome what we hear. Peter shares the gospel with these people, and he shares it from a personal experience as a witness. What did we start out with? God wants to empower us with the power of his Holy Spirit that we might be a witness, that we might testify of the risen Lord, crucified, resurrected, that would be what we share. We talked about this in our last message in last Sunday, about this significance, not of how much we can share of how smart we are and how many books we've read, but how we can share from our hearts the transformation and the power of the cross and the resurrection from the dead. Now, I can go back to you and share with you many, many, many years ago. I can go back and share with you, I have dark ages when I wasn't walking with God, giving my life to Jesus Christ as a very young person. I have then a dark age period where there was nothing. It was just bad lands, you know, where I was a prodigal son, you know, in the spirit speaking. And then we have all the good that God's done. I just got an invitation. I'm very sorry to report an invitation to my 30-year, and some of you that doesn't seem so bad, for me it was a shock, my 30-year class reunion. I got an invitation to that. Oh, man. I want to just get in the shower and cry, really, to be honest with you, but yeah, boy, time goes by fast, doesn't it? You know? Then I thought, you know, I wonder if I want to go to this thing. It was really cool, though, man. They had all the psychedelic colors on it. So it was a really cool-looking invitation. I identified with it, but I thought about it, and I read the names of the people that, you know, are putting, you know, the, I don't know who they are. It's the same social crowd that it was when I was in high school. But anyhow, that's a polite term I just used. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, wow, Lord, do I want to go to that? These people know me as somebody different than who I am. I mean, believe me, radically different than who I am. And I'm thinking, do I really want to go to that? Well, why wouldn't you go, Jim? Oh, I don't know. I don't see them. I don't have any reason to see them. I just, you know, that was all I could think of. And yeah, but what about what I've done? Oh, yeah. And I started contemplating all that God had done. I have a marriage that's intact because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a fact. I readily assure you that's a fact, because I know who I am and where I've been and what I've done. I have a marriage that's intact because of the blood of Jesus Christ. My wife and I both walk with the Lord. I have 3 sons that walk with Jesus. I have a beautiful daughter-in-law that walks with the Lord. I want to show pictures. Not because I'm a proud dad, I can't, and I'm a very pleased husband, you know, with the wife that my Heavenly Father's given me. I'm very thankful for all that my dad has given me in that sense, my Heavenly Father speaking. And I want to show people, you know, how cool, you know, things have, you know, just my lifestyle. But more than anything, I'm proud of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because I know who I am and where I'd be without Him and what my life would be like. And now I can look back over that span of time. I mean, I know what I did. I remember my high school graduation. I remember what I did. I know who I am. And yet I look back and go, oh man, God, You're so gracious and awesome. And I want to testify of who He is and what life can be with the Lord. Because I know most of my friends didn't end up walking with God. I know that to be true. Some, and that's exciting. A lot of my close buddies, man, ended up walking with God, and I'm thankful for that. But you know what? I'm still after some of them. I'm still after them. Because the Lord's still after them. They got the breath of life in them, and I'm after them. I want to see them come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. And I read this, and I was so encouraged. I thought, man, he shared personally what God has done and is doing. Think about that. Not only what God has done, but what He is doing. He's wanting to minister. He's wanting to love on people. He's wanting to care for them. And while Peter was still speaking, we're going to finish up right here. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. They were all astonished. They couldn't believe what happened, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. And then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" He's so glad he brought his witnesses with him, you know. Man, you guys, could you believe this? These guys just experienced a radical move of the Spirit. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay a few days. I'll bet. Wanted to hear more about the work of God. As Peter was speaking, what was he speaking? He was speaking the Word of God. He was recounting for them the truths and the concepts of what was happening with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was sharing the Word. And as he shares the Word, the Spirit fell upon them. It is interesting, as the gift of the Holy Spirit was given, and without exception, as they spoke with tongues and magnified God, it was always directed upward toward the Lord. I think that's something to note when you kind of come across that. When you find tongues, it's always something that's directed to God. Because sometimes we get a different idea. Sometimes people think it's something else is happening and they're waiting for a different type of... Now, if there's an interpretation, that's awesome and stuff, but it's always that which is magnifying the Lord, glorifying God, pointing to Jesus Christ. And I think that's important to note. I guarantee you, there is so much misunderstanding about the work of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And we will spend more time, as time goes by and time permits, we'll spend more time together discussing that and experiencing that. I think it was interesting a couple of weeks ago. We hadn't taught on this yet, but I thought it was interesting a couple of weeks ago. And if you weren't here a few weeks ago, ask somebody who was. But the Spirit kind of fell upon us in a really awesome, fresh way. And I think that's something to note, that that was something none of us had planned, none of us had purposed. It was just something that God met us here in a special way. It was really unique and awesome. And I think we want to wait on God and let God minister to us as we seek for His guidance and His direction. And I think all of you know that here we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe that God manifests Himself through the power of the Spirit. We believe in decent and in order. We believe in the importance also of, as we operate in the gifts, that there is an understanding of how that works so that it's clear, so that we aren't resisting the work of the Lord because of we're fearful of what weird thing might go on, which it doesn't. It didn't. We saw how that worked that day, and it was a great example for us. And again, I'd ask you to ask someone who was here about how that day went for them and what the Lord ministered to them. Quite frankly, to be honest with you, brothers and sisters, I had zero, zero, zero negative feedback. Zero. I think that's interesting. That's awesome. It is always good to be together, to be in God's Word together, to hear from the Lord, and to come expectantly. Ask God to minister to you vision, purpose, direction, and let God be in a place where it's quiet, where you have a quiet heart, quiet mind, you know, quiet place where you can hear from Him. Be there with your Bible. Be there with an open heart. I just don't think we really realize, I can't emphasize enough how outside the box it was. Let's bow our heads and have a quick word of prayer. Father, this morning, as we ask, Lord, that You would continue to minister to us, Lord, we pray for those who have special needs today, whatever they are, that You would minister to them. Lord, we thank You for the power of Your Spirit. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for vision that You give us as we continue to step out by faith and follow You. We ask, Lord, that You continue to move in our fellowship as You will for Your glory. In Jesus' name.